It's 4 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
U.S. commander says U.S. military presence in Liberia to fight Ebola is growing. Liberia's foreign minister provides the U.N. a sober assessment of the fight against the virus. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. U.S. military personnel are arriving in Liberia to help build and supply 17 100-bed Ebola treatment facilities. It's an operation headed by Major General Darrell Williams. It will comprise some 3,000 military personnel.
I have about 175 soldiers here, and then I have another 30 that are in other countries that are going to provide, that are the beginnings of setting up the logistic hubs to flow forces in here. That's today.
Liberia's President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf paid a visit to Parliament Monday to update it on the fight against the deadly virus. Her spokesman, Geraldine McPia, underscored everyone in the country is at risk.
It could be myself. I could die. My children could die. We are all at risk. And that's why we're doing everything we can to ensure that this situation is addressed.
Liberia's foreign minister, Augustin Gwafuan, sitting in for Mrs. Sirleaf at the UN General Assembly Monday, had his own soberer message about how Ebola is affecting his country.
Women, constituting a majority of our health workforce and being the main caregivers in our deeply traditional society, have been disproportionately affected. Sadly, as Ebola widens its deadly circumference, it is creating a trail of traumatized orphans across the country.
Meanwhile, the UN Monday opened headquarters of its new mission in Accra to combat Ebola, assembling a team in Ghana to coordinate the international response. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says the mission will help to unify the response to the outbreak, coordinating international aid and providing support to affected countries. This is VOA News. In Nigeria, port health workers are stepping up efforts to screen crew members for Ebola, including daily temperature checks for every vessel arriving in West Africa's busiest port, Lagos. Dr. Alex Oko is director of the Port Health Service.
For every ship that arrives, Port Health boards the ship to give a free pratique. And because of the screening processes right now, they also give screening forms and they do temperature checks for the crew members. In addition, for as long as the ship is berthed here before it departs, they do a daily monitoring of the temperature of the crew. Regardless of the route of the ship, this is done for every ship arriving, just to ensure that the crew is kept safe.
On Friday, the World Health Organization published new data showing the Ebola death toll has surpassed 3,000 and infected at least 6,500. The International Criminal Court began a hearing Monday on whether former Ivorian minister and youth activist Charles Blé Goud should face trial on charges of crimes against humanity. The close ally of ex-president Laurent Gbagbo is accused of playing a key role in violence that followed the disputed 2010 election. Lisa Bryant reports from Paris.
Pendant l'audience, le procureur...
Sporting spectacles in a dark gray suit, Charles Blé Goudé listened impassively to the opening remarks of presiding judge Sylvia Fernandez de Gourmendi. This week's hearing at the International Criminal Court is to decide whether or not 40-year-old Blé Goudé will face trial on four counts of crimes against humanity, including murder, rape, and persecution. At issue, violence in his native Ivory Coast between November 2010 and April 2011, after the presidential election between longtime president Laurent Gbagbo and Alassane Ouattara, the country's current president. Roughly 3,000 people were killed in the crisis that erupted after Gbagbo refused to accept defeat. Blé Goudé was a close ally of Gbagbo and his first lady, Simone. Known as a charismatic firebrand, he headed a militant pro-Gbagbo group called the Young Patriots that was blamed for a campaign of post-election violence against Ouattara supporters. He denies the charges. The Blé Goudé hearing runs through Thursday. Judges will then have 60 days to decide whether to bring his case to trial. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Egypt and Libya both plunged in the annual Good Governance in Africa Index released in London Monday. Sudanese-born telecom businessman Mo Ibrahim, who founded the index, said overall governance on the continent has improved over the past 5 years. Mauritius remains on top of 52 countries ranked. Somalia is at the bottom. Niger has issued an arrest warrant for Parliament Speaker, a leading opposition figure who fled the country after being sought for questioning on suspicion of involvement in a baby trafficking ring. Amadou, who now is in France, has denied the accusations. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, September 30th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Liberia said thank you to the international community for committing resources to the fight against Ebola.
With gratitude to the Secretary General and other world leaders, the last few weeks has witnessed a host of positive developments that constitute a major heightening of focus and scaling up of the international response.
Liberia's Foreign Minister Augustin Gafuan was speaking Monday at the UN General Assembly in New York. Sierra Leone's Foreign Minister calls for the lifting of flight bans on Ebola-affected West African countries. U.S. troops take first steps to combat Ebola in Liberia, and the African Governance Index shows a small overall improvement.
The IPRIM Index shows that overall governance has slightly improved over the past 5 years, but this rate of improvement has been slower than in the previous five-year period.
Liz McGraw is the director of the Mo Ibrahim Index of African Governance. We'll take you to the town of Bambari in the Central African Republic, which is still under the control of Seleka rebels. And more than 40,000 migrants have lost lives while fleeing since 2000. Those stories plus Mark Oman's post and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Foreign ministers of Liberia and Sierra Leone, two of the countries hardest hit by the deadly Ebola outbreak in West Africa, spoke Monday at the ongoing 69th UN General Assembly meeting in New York. Liberia's Foreign Minister, Augustin Gafuan, speaking on behalf of President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, expressed gratitude to the international community for its support in helping to contain the Ebola virus.
With gratitude to the Secretary General and other world leaders, the last few weeks has witnessed a host of positive developments that constitute a major heightening of focus and scaling up of the international response. These developments include the announcement by President Barack Obama of the United States of his government's decision to scale up assistance to the region, including the deployment of 3,000 military and medical personnel to help us with the fight.
But Foreign Minister Gafuan urged the international community not to be complacent because he said the response has not yet reached the 24-fold increase recommended by experts to contain Ebola.
While we struggle with the first wall of actually disrupting the transmission of Ebola, we must begin to prepare for the second wall of tackling the longer-term socio-economic impacts of the Ebola crisis, including building and capacitating a new health system that can robustly deal with any future health challenge, and raising resources to address a legion of social, economic, political, security, and other challenges made more acute by the presence of Ebola.
Foreign Minister Gafuan outlined steps the Liberian government has taken since the outbreak of the virus. Still, he said Ebola continues to confound the nation and the region.
We declared a state of emergency, suspended schools, and with the constructive involvement of all stakeholders, including pastors, imams, chiefs, elders, youths, government officials, opposition politicians, have stepped up awareness and prevention campaigns to address the crystallized denial and deeply rooted traditional and cultural practices that create a fertile ground for the spread of the disease. We have also committed, and we continue to commit, significant portions of our own poultry resources to the fight. In spite of these efforts, buttressed by our partners, Ebola has confounded all of us and has sprinted faster than our collective efforts, snuffing out the life candle of more than 1,800 of our compatriots, with a total of nearly 3,500 infected.
Quoting President Sirleaf, Mr. Gafuan said, if 14 years of civil war did not completely destroy the spirit of the Liberian people, Ebola will not. He said the nation will prevail over Ebola. Sierra Leone's Foreign Minister Samura Kamara, speaking on behalf of President Ernest Bai Koroma, also thanked the international community for committing resources to the fight against Ebola. But he said the country needs more bed nets.
The world needs a faster global response infrastructure to deal with this new trend that is today manifesting itself in the West African nations of Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, but to which no country could be immune. Ebola is running faster than us. And for an impact to start, treatment beds must surpass Ebola cases. Only when the number of available beds surpasses the number of cases can we say Ebola is being brought under control.
Foreign Minister Kamara also called on the United Nations to speak louder for the lifting of the flight bans imposed on Ebola-affected West African countries.
We also believe it is high time this assembly makes its voice heard on flight bans and cancellations to our countries following the outbreak of the deadly Ebola virus disease. The World Health Organization and many others have advised against these blanket flight bans. We therefore urge member states to re-examine their policies of isolating and stigmatizing Ebola-affected countries and their respective citizens. The world is too globalized for policies that shun engagements with a democratic nation. The UN was founded on a mandate to confront human insecurity and not on shunning it.
Mr. Kamara says Sierra Leoneans are feeling the impact of Ebola's numerous socioeconomic disruptions.
Socioeconomic disruptions are already being felt. We are no longer able to uphold our cultural systems and practices, including the shaking of hands as we gladly receive one another. Our people live in fear and cannot understand the nature of a disease that claims a life and prevents family members from burying their loved ones. The indeterminate suspension of several ongoing development projects and the disruption of farming, mining, manufacturing, construction, tourism, trading, and public transportation following the outbreak of Ebola are now undermining the growth and human development prospects of the country.
The Sierra Leone's Foreign Minister Samura Kamara speaking Monday at the UN General Assembly in New York. Over the past 2 weeks, one world leader after the other has called for immediate action in the fight against Ebola in West Africa. The United States has made the largest contribution and is sending 3,000 troops to Liberia to assist with healthcare logistics. It is the biggest military operation for America in Africa since withdrawing forces from Somalia in 1993. Benno Mushla was with some of the first soldiers arriving in Monrovia and reports on their first steps on the ground.
Obviously, I'm Petty Officer Holzhanger. We're with Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 133.
Petty Officer Holzhanger stands in front of an empty field at Liberia's International Airport Roberts Field. The enormous yellow excavator that is driving up and down behind him started work only 30 minutes ago. On this site, Holzhanger and his unit are to build a 25-bed hospital for health workers infected with Ebola.
Our biggest concern with this area is drainage. If you have too much water in your area with your tents, it can cause a lot of problems with insects, any snakes, and it's just all in all, I mean, I don't think anybody really wants to live in water.
The tall officer in his early 20s, wearing sunglasses and a tan construction helmet, is based in Djibouti, which is thousands of kilometers across the continent on the Gulf of Aden. Djibouti hosts the only U.S. military base in Africa. Along with the deployment of these troops to Liberia, President Obama has committed $175 million and will build 17 new healthcare facilities in the region with 100 beds each and train up to 500 healthcare providers per week. As the first uniformed soldiers arrive here at the end of September, locals had mixed feelings. Makosti Temba was one of them.
Well, seeing them is like sometimes happiness or not. I don't know the real mission here, because I overheard that they are here for them to help to fight the Ebola virus into this nation. So seeing them, sometimes we are pleased for us to see the U.S. Army in this country for them to help to fight the Ebola virus.
General Daryl Williams, who leads the humanitarian military operation in Liberia, says he believes that Liberians generally like Americans, but any military is possibly unpopular. He says his troops understand that and are prepared for it. Colonel Johnson says Liberia and America are not only united by a long friendship and history, but also by a common language, which will make things much easier.
We've got an awesome relationship with the airfield manager here, which has really made this kind of a, as you bring the two gears together, it's really kind of brought them together real well. And so that's so little things as we ramp up operations, we'll work through those challenges, and I think we'll be highly effective going forward.
Ebola has infected more than 5,600 people and killed more than 2,800 this year, mostly in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. The World Health Organization said the number of people infected with Ebola could grow at an explosive rate, exceeding 20,000 by November, unless more is done quickly to control the outbreak. Benno Müchler for VOA News, Monrovia.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voices of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, September 30th. And please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 16 minutes past the hour. The Mo Ibrahim Foundation has released its annual index of governance in Africa. The report shows continued small improvement continent-wide, although performance varied greatly from country to country. Here is VOA's Anita Power in Johannesburg with the result.
This year's annual Mo Ibrahim African Governance Index came as something of an anticlimax. Many of the 52 nations maintained their spots from last year, with tiny Mauritius at the top and volatile Somalia at the bottom. The Charitable Foundation said it has moved back the date for awarding the $5 million African Leadership Prize in an attempt to keep attention focused on the index instead of on the lucrative award. This year's index, released Monday, reveals that in the past 5 years, the continent's overall governance has improved only slightly, with an average improvement of less than 1 point out of a maximum score of 100. Mo Ibrahim Index of African Governance Director Liz McGraw points out some highlights of the report.
So we've seen that at the continental level, the Ibrahim Index shows that overall governance has slightly improved over the past 5 years. But this rate of improvement has been slower than in the previous five-year period. And we've also seen that the drivers of governance improvement on the continent have changed over the past 10 years. So whereas sustainable economic opportunity was the main driver between 2005 and 2009, since 2009, overall governance has been driven by participation in human rights and human development.
The index ranks countries based on human development, safety and rule of law, human rights, and sustainable economic opportunity. The rankings show an overall continental improvement in health indices, despite a raging Ebola outbreak in West Africa. The data for this year's report were collected before the first mass Ebola outbreaks were reported. But McGraw says the index measures health through many variables, which include maternal health, immunizations, nourishment, and sanitation.
These indicators aren't necessarily direct proxies for a crisis like Ebola. So it's important just to basically look at the fact that these things are improving on the continent. These measures are definitely, perhaps in large part due to the Millennium Development Goals, getting better in Africa.
After Mauritius, Cape Verde, Botswana, South Africa, and Seychelles round out the top five. Some traditionally low-ranked countries, among them Guinea, Zimbabwe, and Chad, have made large strides in the past year, although not enough to lift them high in the rankings. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
The situation in the eastern part of the Central African Republic remains fragile. Bambari, the country's second largest city, is still controlled by Seleka rebels. French forces maintain the security in town, but outside Bambari, the roads are not safe and almost all food transports have stopped. Katerina Hoje reports from Bambari.
Bambari is a key market town in the Central African Republic, but it is as modest as a simple dirt track that leads to it. Crumbling old colonial buildings crouch under tall trees. Muddy roads cross through town. In town, French troops and the UN peacekeeping force trying to maintain security. But every now and then violence erupts in Bambari and its surroundings.
Devant là où les Seleka sont en face de moi.
Restaurant owner Marie Chantal Samba says when the mostly Muslim rebel group Seleka became her neighbors, she was forced to flee her home. Samba says she wants to leave Bambari because the situation now makes it impossible to stay. Samba had to close the restaurant when the Seleka moved in next door. She has since opened a new restaurant in a sprawling camp at the UN peacekeeping mission base. She also delivers food to the regional hospital, but it is not enough to make ends meet. Hunger seems to be the main concern here. Local trader Karima Madu says the road to the south, to the capital Bangui, is controlled by the mainly Christian anti-Balaka militia, and that all trucks coming into Bambari are escorted by international peacekeeping forces. He says, if you're a Muslim and try to go by road, you will be killed as everything is blocked. Mamadou has run out of basic goods like pasta and flour. Truck drivers on the road from Bangui are attacked and their cargo looted on regular basis. And to the north, the border with Chad remains closed. Interim Major Alain Matipata says Bambari was a lively town before conflict erupted across the Dakar in 2013. He says there was a market and people moved freely, but now everything has stopped. Matipata is one of a handful of government officials who have stayed behind when the Seleka took control of Bambari in March of last year. The town of about 40,000 people is now the rebels' main stronghold in the Central African Republic. Major Frédéric Dupré, who commands a mixture of about 200 regular French troops and foreign legionnaires, says there are between 500 and 600 armed ex-Seleka who stay in town, mainly in the Muslim neighborhood. It is clear the presence of French and international soldiers is making some difference to the security situation here, but only up to a point.
Voilà, il y a un peu un équilibre qui se fait, mais personne contrôle vraiment Bambari.
Major Dupré says no one controls Bambari. He says it is true that there are different factions of rebels and militia, but today Bambari does not function like a town. Dupré says it is also true that there are some government officials still around, but they are all depending on the Seleka, who still have a heavy presence here. There is an invisible wall dividing the city. A small bridge separates the mainly Muslim neighborhoods from the majority Christian part of town. While the factions fight over turf and foreign soldiers try to end the bloodshed, reconciliation is nowhere in sight. An interim government in Bangui has made virtually no progress towards stabilizing the country. There are still no operating schools or hospitals in the Bambari area. Katrina Heyer for VA News in Bambari.
A new report by the International Organization for Migration says more than 40,000 migrants fleeing war, persecution and poverty have died since 2000 in dangerous journeys across land and sea. The 200-page report called Fatal Journeys, Tracking Lives Lost During Migration, is the world's most comprehensive tally to date of migrant fatalities. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The report finds Europe is the world's most dangerous destination for irregular migration. The International Organization for Migration reports more than 22,000 migrants since 2000 have lost their lives on treacherous routes across the Mediterranean Sea. And the region has set a record in 2014 for lives lost. The IOM reports more than 3,000 migrants have died trying this year to cross the Mediterranean Sea in flimsy smugglers' boats. This accounts for 75% of the more than 4,000 migrant deaths registered worldwide so far this year. The agency attributes the surge in deaths on growing conflict in the Middle East and chaos across North Africa and West Africa. IOM spokesman Joel Millman says the market is sensitive to external forces, and smugglers take advantage of that by inducing vulnerable migrants to put their lives in their hands.
These smuggling organizations obviously respond to deep changes in the security situation of the sender countries. When Syria got even worse this year with the ISIS taking over parts of the country, that's when you started seeing a lot more Syrians on these boats. And in the 51-day conflict with Gaza, when the ceasefire finally came, that's when you started seeing a lot of Palestinians coming. And the breakdown of authority in Libya created an opportunity.
Millman says the going rate for a voyage across the Mediterranean Sea is between $2,000 and $4,000 a person.
We hear things like $500,000 voyages where organizations can expect that kind of profit from moving several hundred migrants across a very short voyage.
The agency says the true number of fatalities worldwide is likely to be much higher than the data shows. It says some experts believe for every dead body discovered, there are at least two others never recovered. The International Organization for Migration is calling for an end to what it calls an epidemic of crime and victimization by smugglers and traffickers who prey on desperate, vulnerable people. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
It's time now for Daybreak Africa's post. Here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. A very good Tuesday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with athletics. Ethiopian Belia Nashal Jira set a course record of 33 minutes and 52 seconds when she won the Carrera de la Mujer women's 10-kilometer race in the Colombian capital Bogota on Sunday. Kenyan Veronica Nyauri was runner-up ahead of Ethiopia's Asmera Gebru. Moving on to basketball, Egypt outplayed Somalia 91-69 as Uganda beat Rwanda 69-61 in the round-robin contest at the Africa Zone 5 Basketball Championships in Kampala, Uganda over the weekend. Earlier on, Uganda beat Kenya 83-71 to register their first victory against their neighbors in 9 years. In the women's contest, Egypt beat Kenya 70-52 while Uganda edged Kenya 64-61. Consequently, Egypt won the men's contest. Uganda is second, followed by Rwanda, Kenya and Somalia. Uganda won the women's event ahead of Egypt, then Kenya. Meanwhile, Mozambique Challenge hosts Turkey in Ankara, while Angola face the United States of America in Istanbul at the FIBA Women's World Basketball Championships today, Tuesday. Earlier over the weekend, Mozambique lost 45-89 to France and 69-45 to Canada, while Angola fell 65-39 to China and 102-42 against Serbia. In football news, Ghana edged Cameroon 4-3 to progress on a 6-4 aggregate in the Orange African Under-17 Championship qualifiers on Sunday. Mali dismissed Tunisia 51, Guinea eliminated Togo 4-0, Zambia beat Uganda 4-1, South Africa edged Egypt 4-3 as African champions Ivory Coast dismissed Angola 4-1, and FIFA Under-17 World Cup champions Nigeria eliminated Gabon 6-2. As a result, Ghana, Guinea, Ivory Coast, Mali, Nigeria, South Africa and Zambia join hosts Niger at the 2015 Africa Under-17 Championships in Niamey. Meanwhile, today, Tuesday, is the deadline for countries to submit their bids to stage the 2017 Orange Africa Cup of Nations. The Confederation of African Football has received Algeria's bids. Other bids are expected from Ethiopia, Ghana, Kenya and Mali. CAF opened the bidding process after Libya withdrew from staging the event owing to insecurity in the country. Finally, Botswana host Zimbabwe in men's friendly football match in Gaborone, while Ivory Coast and Algeria face off in women's football in Windhoek, Namibia today, Tuesday. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day. Here's our listener mail for this Tuesday morning, September the 30th.
It was Philip Note, a happy birthday compliment to the people of Nigeria on the occasion of their celebration of 54 years of independence from Britain. I do not think the dissonance in the country's lower and upper chambers resulting into their inability to put their cards on the table and address the dust raised over the floating of $9.3 million in South Africa is a development to smile, let alone cheer from above. Thank you, your loyal listener, Ambrose Ajio from Makurdi in Borno State of Nigeria.
We thank you, listener, for your comment, and please send your viewpoints to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. The United Nations has opened the headquarters of its new mission to combat Ebola, assembling a team in Ghana to coordinate the international response. The head of the mission and his team arrived Monday in Ghana's capital, Accra. It is the first time that the United Nations has set up an emergency health mission. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says the mission will help to unify the response to the Ebola outbreak. Well, that's it for this Tuesday, September 30th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Tracy Carter, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Shryak, as well as sports editor Mark Ouman, along with our engineer Carl Sterling, I'm James Butte in Washington, wishing every one of you in Africa a very good day.
In Focus from the Voice of America Television is a half-hour international news magazine with reports on Africa, the African diaspora and the world. It examines a wide variety of issues and world events not always covered by other media, with correspondent reports on politics and diplomacy, news, pop culture, sports, health and the environment.
Check your local listings for In Focus on VOA TV.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga.
Please join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 1700 hours UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and enlighten us all on the topic at hand. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 1700 hours UTC on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America.